This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0, and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall, the teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars, and that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
Welcome to another episode of Hard Reads on the Prediction Channel. I'm TK Breeze, this is Austie, and we will be talking about our two subjects today, which are dangers of the idolizing figureheads and, of course, community update about everything that's been happening lately. First and foremost, Austie, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Just hanging in there, as usual. How about you? How's everything?
Same old, you know, just kind of hanging there, trying to keep myself busy, occupied, try to figure out how to keep myself entertained while also staying safe from COVID. So, you know, just that's the hard part right now. I'm still not going anywhere. Can't really go out to bars. Can't really go out to hang out with my friends. And so, honestly, the only time I really get out of the house is to, like, to walk around my neighborhood just to kind of get some sunlight. And, like, I really wish there was more that I could do than that, but that's, like, the safest thing I can do. So, yeah.
That's pretty much the same on my end, too, Dan. It's, it sucks because, like, it's, like, I feel like maybe we should have been able to go out and do some stuff by now, but it's just, it's a mess, so.
Yeah, so... yeah, with that being said, though, I guess we can get into our, let's do the community update first, because that's, like, the softer topic, and it probably leads into the other things. So the community update is that, obviously, more people have, you know, been outed from the last time we talked about it. It's been about 15 days since we had our last episode of Hard Reads. A lot of people have been called out. I think that, like, now that time is settled, we can kind of, like, talk about everything in a grand scope. Like, I think that there's obviously varying degrees of what was said, and to an extent, I feel like some of the stories felt like they were just talking about, like, I don't know, like a bad breakup, which still, I think it outlines some of the abusive behavior, but sometimes, like, you know, sometimes, like, that bad breakup is just what it is. It's a bad breakup. But for the majority of what was going on, there was a lot of underlying issues within the Smash communities as far as underage misconduct, as far as sexual misconduct of multiple types. And I think that what kind of determined, like, the severity of them was, one, the crime, and two, the response to it. So on the large or the weird part of the spectrum, you have Senpai, who has, you know, obviously been accused of grooming a minor or having sexual relations with a minor, and she has said literally nothing since. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you have me, who was accused of something, or accused of grooming someone in their sleep. And I, even though I did not fully believe the way that story, or I feel like I still don't know how to really, like, say it, because, like, again, it's one of those things where, like, I feel like this potentially could have happened, but I don't think it happened maliciously. I think it was one of those, like, I move a lot in my sleep, and I feel like in some way, like, my arm maybe, like, went over in over into that area, and then because I don't remember any of this interaction. So but regardless of that, I knew that there has been other things that has happened in the past that, like, I feel like I never really, like, addressed or atoned to. So I just, you know, I, like, handle it in a way where I decided to apologize for my past behavior if I hurt anyone, because I know that somewhere out there there's someone who may have had to deal with a shittier version of me. And even though, like, 30-year-old me is, you know, great and woke and all that shit, you know, 22-year-old me wasn't as great or woke. And I feel like those are, like, the two big spectrums. There have been some people who have come out in between where they've come out with an apology, but it didn't like really seem like an apology. There's some people who deny their actions and then came out and then said, never mind, this is all true. So it's, I don't know, man. It's like the community is in a really weird spot right now where I don't know what to make of it. And if we are just kind of like in a vacuum right now of seeing all of this crazy stuff happen right now, and so it looks bigger than it actually is, or is it actually as big as it appears, and will there be great change in the future?
I like to be a glasses half full type of guy. I like to be optimistic about this. I think this is a good thing that all this is being brought to light and we're starting to remove members from the community, and you know, just allowing them from going to tournaments, not giving them a voice anymore because of the past actions they did, because it's unacceptable. If we were to allow it, obviously, like, we're setting a precedent that this is okay. In regards to your stuff, TK, I was actually hella impressed by how you handled it, how you just fucking apologized, and you were willing to grow from it and learn, and you had that those little shows too with what's her name,
Devin.
Yeah, Devin. You had that show with Devin, and
Well, see the thing is, like, the information that was given for it was so vague that, like, I honestly could not pinpoint a time, a place, or anything like that. However, I realized that, like, it doesn't matter what the circumstance or situation behind it was, you know, like, this person feels like this thing happened, right? And I can't, you know, even if I don't fully, like, you know, remember or agree or even think that happened, I think that the fact of the matter is that, like, in some way I hurt this person in a way that, like, I should not have hurt that person. And that's what matters more than anything. We've been talking a lot about intent versus impact. And even if my intention was not the intention that was put on me, the impact was still left. So, like, I need to apologize for impacting you like that, you know, and anybody else that, like, I have impacted like that. And that's why, like, I feel like a lot of people could have, I don't really say stayed, but a lot of people could have, like, shown that they have grown or whatever. I've shown that I've grown throughout the years because, yeah, whatever this happened, this could have been, like, 7 years ago, this could have been 5 years ago, this could have been 10 years ago. I don't know. But I know in the last 4 to 5 years, I've been, like, you know, I've shown that, like, you know, I'm grown up. I'm trying to have a more responsible outlook on life. I want to help people. I want to make people not feel marginalized and all that good stuff. That's not going to get erased off of one mistake over, you know, years ago. But what will show that I haven't grown is if I came out really, like, swinging at the fact that someone is trying to blame me for something. And I think a lot of people came out swinging like, I'm innocent, you know, oh, like, these people are out to get me. I don't think anyone's necessarily out to get me. I think someone just felt hurt and they wanted to express that they felt hurt. And I agree with their feelings of, you know, wanting to express that. I'm always about open and honest conversation. So, yeah, but I wasn't going to sit there and, you know, badmouth nobody and call them names. Unless it was like 1,000% a lie, then I would have been like, all right, yo, this is an attack. But for a lot of these stories, I feel like people were already on the defensive as soon as the story came out and just trying to prove their innocence instead of proving that they have changed as a person, you know, from whenever this interaction has happened.
I think that's a super important fact, is that so many people that we've seen were so intent on proving their innocence over anything else instead of like, okay, how about thinking about why this tweet longer was made? You know, even if parts of it aren't true, there's got to be some truth to it, right? Why would someone just make up a random story about that? Like, it's very rare.
It really was the owning up to it, I think, was what was the better idea for most people, or what most people should have done. If there was any semblance of truth in your, you know, tweet longer or whatever, or whatever accusation you got, if there was any semblance of truth, I think that you needed to, you know, address that, like, you can understand, at the very least, you can understand where this person is coming from, and this was not my intent or something like that. But no, everyone was just like, no, bro, no, that never happened. I'm never like that. No.
Yeah.
And a lot of this, like, when you think about it, like, you have to put like a time gauge on it and see if that is like behavior that has not changed. You know what I mean? Like, if I did something in 2008, right? And I'm like, guys, you know, that was so long ago. You know what I'm saying? I've obviously grown from this point, whatever. Like, that is a valid, you know, thing to say. Like, it's been 12 years. Like, hopefully I'm a different person. But if I'm doing shit in 2019, you cannot use that same offense or that same, like, you know, statement. You can't be like, yeah, guys, I've changed. Like, that's literally been a year. You know what I mean? And it's not even been a full year at that. So most people will not believe you that you've changed if you did something in December 2019. Like, that's just not how that works. That's been only 6 months. You still probably harbor some of those tendencies that could be problematic from that point.
Yeah. It's tough because every human being grows, obviously. Like, I myself was a completely different person 10 years ago. And the fact that we're showing that we're growing and that we're willing to listen is something that's important that I feel like every smasher and every person in general just needs to learn how to do. Just how to listen instead of getting defensive about everything. It's really hard to do, though, because, you know, people are so set in their ways, and being able to the prospect of changing, like, maybe even like a core value of yourself sounds like it's devastating, because it's so hard to like try to change who you are because of that. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's good that some of these people, I mean, obviously there are some acts that are just like, nope, I don't care if you changed, bye. You know, like if you killed someone, if you raped someone, you know, like something like extreme, like there no second chances, like you're done.
Right. And like for, I've seen a lot of people have come into my stream asking me if people could be redeemed and come back. I don't really like that question right now because it's too fucking early. Like we just, we're still in the spot where more people could be coming out. We don't know. But it's too early to worry about, you know, if Zero's going to make it back, if Naira's going to make it back. I think what you should more worry about is, are they going to, you know, are they going to right their wrongs? And are they going to, like, if they need to, I don't think, I'm just using their names, but if they need to, if this is like a real issue, like, are they going to seek help? If you're still, you know, like degrading women because you see them as less than or some shit like that, like you need therapy, bro. Like that's, you know, you need to seek help and find a way to get a better way of thinking or stuff. You know, if you still are, you know, chasing after minors when it's legal, you know, you need help. Like, and if you're going to go out and get help, then that's great. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be getting help because you want to get back to, you know, making money or get back into this match community. You should be getting help because you realize that your actions are wrong and that you would like to actually change them. So yeah, I'm not really worried. I'm not too much worried about if people who have been at it and were like getting banned and stuff are coming back as of right now without any change or, you know, recourse of actions or anything like that. If we don't see any change or anything like that, then like, how are we to know that this won't happen again? And it really is a case by case basis. I still don't think that Hyuga should come back. I don't care how long it's been. That man got off free for straight up like hard sexually assaulting someone, and he, you know, they gave him a year ban, but most people are like, nah, man, let's, you know, it's banning me longer. I don't really care for him to come back. I don't really care for, you know, Senpai to come back. You know, that's a very heinous. Those are very heinous crimes. Those could be jail defenses, but. You know, in other lights, there are people who I feel like could just kind of like work on themselves and then be welcomed back in. I don't really have names as of yet. Like, I'm not thinking about someone who would, but just, you know, I could see it. I just don't want to talk about it right now, basically. Like, give it some rest time. Let's see what happens when tournaments start back up, and then we'll go from there.
It's like we don't need to make any knee-jerk reactions, because we have so long until local tournaments are back. Like, so like, what's the point of even debating it right now when things could change in a month and in a year? Like, things could change. Maybe someone could, you know, show that they've changed, like you said, maybe, or like, and you know, there's so many things up in the air that we don't need to be talking about stuff like that right now. I think right now we should be focusing on helping people, you know,
right.
And just hearing out people. That's the most important part. Just listening to the victims and listening why they're upset. Like, even if you see it as something extremely minor, maybe it's extremely major to them, you know? So
yeah,
we just gotta start listening to the community, man.
Yeah.
And before next topic, guys, a quick word about betonline.ag. There is no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners, betonline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back, and BetOnline is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. And if you need even more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC events all day, every day, live on their website. Looking for something other than sports? BetOnline has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, esports, and prop bets to check out. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE for a free welcome bonus. That's one word, BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your wagering experts. And now, let's get back to the podcast.
And so I guess that kind of leads into our next topic, which is idolizing, you know, top players, top personalities and stuff. Really got to stop doing that. Like I tell people this all the time. So I feel like when it comes to me, I am definitely like very open and honest with like my chat as far as like who I am and what I stand for and what I'm what annoys me and when I'm like depressed or things like that, because I feel like I'm pushing a narrative that it's okay to talk about those things. But unless like we've like hung out or we've, you know, had extensive conversations, you still don't really know me. Like, you know things about me and that's great, but you don't really know me as like the person that you are typecasting me for. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you see me as some hero or whatever, but like you literally only see me on stream, you don't know me. And that goes for almost everybody that comes that streams and that is a top player and that has like a following and things like that. And most of these people aren't nearly as open as I am. So say, if I'm saying that you don't know me, then there's no way you know, Nairo really, or that you know Zero really, or Cosmos really, or Mars really. You know what I'm saying? So it's okay to be a fan. You should definitely, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a fan of anyone. Obviously, the reason why we are such big personalities and things are because of fans. But to take that and to start to, like, say things like when stuff was coming out for certain people were like, nah, man, he's not like that. How would you know? Like, how would you know? You know what I mean? Like, you've never seen that person in a party setting, or you've never seen that person in a, you know, in a setting with, or you never talked to that person about, like, you know, sex or, you know, attraction and stuff like that. So how would you know? And I think that, like, that's the line that is continually getting crossed when it comes to idolizing people. Like, you think you know them because of what they appear on stream, but you don't really know them at all. Like, you know their character, but you don't know their person, you know?
Yeah, like they're literally showing you what they want you to see.
Yeah.
You know, like they control what is shown out there, especially on YouTube when you can edit, you know? So, like, whatever if they say something bad on a YouTube video, it's not even streamed. They could easily just edit it out before they upload it. So that's even easier there. But Twitch as well, you know, people are way more careful with what they say and how they present themselves, that you don't know what someone's like at their low, you know, or like in different situations. You've never met the person. How do you know they would never do that?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I appreciate that people can relate to me, you know, and care about like me or whatever. But like, at the same time, like, you really have to, like, know me to be able to say things like that. You know, like, Charisse, Katixia, both of these people I've hung out with in real life for years. You know, me and Charisse have known each other for, like, 11 or 12, 10 years now. And me and Katixia have known each other for, like, 4 or 5. And it's like, but, like, we've hung out in outside settings. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've hung out in... like, not streamer settings. She came, they've come to my house, you know, we've like went to bars, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I just, you know what I mean? Like, that's the difference. Like, you can hang out in my stream all day, every day, and that's great. And I appreciate that very much. So, I really do. But, like, until we're hanging out doing random stuff, we're chilling on my couch and shit, I won't say that you really fully, you know me. And that goes for literally everyone that you will look up to, that you're watching, that you're idolizing, or whatever. You gotta stop idolizing and just be a fan. You know, it's okay to be a fan. It's actually great to be a fan, but do not put that person on a pedestal that they do not deserve. That's pretty much the point of that.
goes for anyone, not just Smash commentary. It goes for like actors, people who do art, people who make video games. Like, you can respect the craft, but don't forgive them because they did something terrible. As an example, like if someone created something amazing, right, and they you found out that they raped someone or sexually assaulted someone, and like, you know, oh, but it's fine, we'll forgive them because they made this great artwork. What if that person they affected would have made something better than them, but because that happened to them, they stopped and gave up? You know, you'll never know. Like, these people can destroy other people's lives, and you can't give them a pass because they did something great. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, moving into our Twitter questions, we can go ahead and wrap this thing up. We didn't get a crazy amount of Twitter questions, but I was kind of late on throwing it out. We still got some pretty good ones, though. So, from Horace Pipe Jr., he says, I've seen the argument that mentions... that the mention of abusers should be completely scrubbed from the community. What impacts would this have on Smash history? Honestly, a lot. I mean, you have to think about who was called out and what they have done before then. You know, you have Nairo, who's won multiple things, had one of the largest, well, had the largest following of Smash as far as it goes with Twitch and like subs and stuff. You have to think about Zero, 57 or 54 or whatever, 50 plus win streak. You got to think about, you know, D1, he's commentated multiple. You know, multiple high level tournaments. You gotta think about Anti, Juan CEO, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's, you gotta think about the Moon, you gotta think about DJ and all their little doubles runs. Like, there's a lot of history that will get erased by erasing those names. You gotta think about HBox, if he actually had ended up getting canceled for whatever reason. HBox is, you know, a pillar of the Melee community, and like, that would just, there's so much you'd have to get rid of if that was the case. So, I don't really know how to go about that. I think that maybe, you know, heralding them as the GOATs may come to an end, but I don't really see why you'd have to erase literally every video that, you know, D1's ever commentated, or every time that HBox has ever won, or Nairo's ever won, or whatever. Like, I don't think that's going to change anything for what is currently going on. I think it's not about erasing the past. I think it's about moving forward in the future and making sure shit like this doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, that's the most important part, is focusing on the future. I don't think you necessarily need to delete everything or erase history. I think it's okay for history to, like, just... I think, you know, Zero's win streak or whatever, like, all that stuff can stay. It's just as long as you know what they did. You know, like, because, like... It's hard as commentators, you know, because we build these stories for these players over the past years and years and years. About, like, oh, the rivalry was this good, blah, blah, blah. And now it's just, like, when we come back, it's, like, do we start fresh with, like, brand new stories? I mean, eventually we'll find our way, but in the beginning it's going to be kind of rough.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much where we're at on that one. Mm-hmm. Lotu Hero says, what are your thoughts on 8.0 patch, and where do you see we fit now? Maybe we'll only play 8.0 patch one day. And I played all the characters that got buffed. Kirby is pretty good, but still, Kirby will suffer from the same issues of being too slow. Falco's super dope. Mimin was pretty cool. I like her a lot. I don't think I would main her, but she was definitely pretty fun. Wii Fit Trainer, that forward air buff is probably like the biggest buff that she's got so far. Forward air already was like technically safe on shield for most options. Like, if I forward air F-tilted, you most likely get hit unless you Mario Nair'd perfectly. You know what I'm saying? And even then, I think that'd still lead to a trade. But now I just straight up beat it out. You know, and it's like just that fast. For me personally, the deep breathe or the sun salutation buff was nice because I do get a lot of KOs with sun salutation, and down smash and up smash being faster was nice as well. So. Definitely really good buffs for Wii Fit. I feel like if she was already high tier, so she probably just moved up a little bit in the high tier, but not near top tier. I think she's just like, you know, maybe like the middle of high tier now, in my opinion. Overall, though, I think it was a good patch. I think that, like, I don't really think right now anything needs to get nerfed. You know, if they decided to hit Joker a little bit more just on Arsene, like, I could see that. But for the most part, oh, and if they actually put like an extra frame on Game & Watch's Up B or some shit. Like, that's about pretty much my only wish list, I guess.
Yeah, this patch is good. I would love to see an offline tournament with this patch and see what top players are doing with Min Min. I think for my wish list, the only thing I would change, because I actually like the balance of Smash Ultimate. It's probably one of the most balanced Smash games out there. It's because you have 80 plus characters now. And that's a lot to balance. But if I had to take away one thing, it would definitely be just lower the counter from Joker to be smaller. That's it. That's literally all I want to do. I think his counter range is a little too huge. So people, you know, like Krom, trying to get back to the stage, they're dead. They can't do anything because it covers the ledge. The counter is so huge. Yeah. So yeah, other than that, like, I think the game's in a really good spot. DeBuzz did mention that he thinks Kirby is top tier. Did you see that?
Okay, DeBuzz has opinions. Okay, it's just I can't see it because Kirby can't catch anyone. He has bad ground speed and he has bad air speed and his dash attack is not safe. So like,
bro, when he catches up.
I mean, when he gets it going, he gets it going. But I mean, as long as you avoid a down air, you're probably fine. Like, you know, for like the majority of the game. So it's just, I don't know, man. I play that character a lot too because I've always liked Kirby. Even in Melee, I still played Kirby. But I just,
oh God, I'm sorry.
I would never ever. Oh, no, I didn't play him like, you know.
Oh, okay.
I was a Falcon main. I just, you know, if we were doing low tier stuff, I'm gonna play some Kirby. But and Pichu, man, my Pichu used to slap. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think Kirby is better for sure, but I don't think Kirby is definitely not high tier. Maybe like mid tier, as Kirby usually ends up being. So, we got Sagarumil Patel. Big shout out to Sagarumil Patel, the boy. Says, hey guys, I hope you're all doing okay. This is a less serious question, but I wanted to know how you and Austin met. When did you guys decide to do the Hard Race podcast? Keep up the good work. I don't remember when we met.
It was, I started traveling the tournaments in 2015, like super traveling. So I had to be somewhere in that year. I don't remember what tournament specifically we met, but we met one time. Oh, was it Apex? Apex 2016?
Maybe. Was that the one? Oh, that was the one after the building collapsed.
Right? The rebrand.
Okay. Probably. Probably.
We didn't get close until later.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I assume that's probably around the time you were you're big into Pokken, right?
When Pokken came out, or when it was between the Wii U and the Switch, like somewhere around there, I was big into it.
Okay. Yeah. So something like that, and then we decided to do the podcast because Prediction hit me up, and then I was like, well, I don't like, you know, I basically told him that I didn't want to do all the like the research aspect of like, you know, if we're going to do like tournament results and stuff. I told him, I like, look, I'm not like a researcher. I don't really do stuff like that. I was like, but I do have a researcher friend who could, you know, do the research or whatever, and then we can use that as a show. And so at first the show was actually just going to be me, but like Aussie was going to be background doing the research. But then I was like, you know what? It'd probably be better for me not just to be talking to myself the entire time, especially if like the first few episodes aren't like big on viewers. So then we brought Austin on as the podcast second host. And that's how we ended up here. So it's been about a year now, I think. Yeah,
it's been over a year.
Over a year. Certain word. So yeah, man. Big big shout out to you guys for, you know, supporting us for this long. And big shout out to Prediction for, you know, having us around for a year. All right, moving on. We got Crazy Andy? Saying, do you think 18 plus tournaments will be a thing? I don't think so. I think that if anything, it will be more so like, you know, same tournaments, but if you're not 18, you need like a guardian. And your guardian doesn't have to be your parent. It could just be like, you know, your cousin that's like over 18 or someone that can just be held accountable for you if anything are to happen to you, the minor. So I think that is probably about the closest we'll ever get to limiting tournaments. I don't think anything more necessary than that is needed. I think 18 plus tournaments is like kind of I feel like it's a bad idea because of how competition works. You know, 14 year olds can be just as good as 30 year olds. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to like see that division split over the fact that like a couple of people don't know how to not talk to minors. This isn't like a world This isn't like a 90% issue in the Smash community. It's just an issue that happened one time too many regardless. Like, it doesn't matter if it's one person or 100 people. That's still one time too many. And so that's what we're trying to stop. But I think doing the 18-plus tournaments thing is a little too steep right now.
I've been warming up to the idea of having different brackets for one that's 18-plus, one that's under it. Because at first I was against it because of the reasons that you stated. But someone pointed out that when you separate minors from adults in bracket, even though they're attending the same event, it creates this atmosphere that they are not peers, which is correct. Hmm. They're not. A 30-year-old is not competing with a 14-year-old, because the second they, you know, they fist bump and they go into a match, a 30 versus 14-year-old, they're on the same playing field, which in life, they're not whatsoever. And I think that's where it's been able to become a little bit more rampant, is because the people who have become pedophiles or have, you know, committed acts with minors, they have somehow, like, it's almost like it reinforces the idea that this is okay because they're my peer, you know? And I feel like if we were to separate that, it could help with people's mindsets a little bit more. Again, I don't know if it's the right answer or not, because I also love competition and, like, want to let anyone in on the competition. I would love to see, you know, a 16-year-old become the best in the world, you know, MKLeo. And, but it's so tough. Like, I feel like there's no right answer.
Yeah, I don't really think there's a right answer right now. Again, we're all kind of, I think we're all just kind of waiting out to see what fucking happens. We don't know when tournaments are coming back. We don't know if they're ever coming back because, like, you know, this COVID, like, the COVID stuff is, like, it literally went down. It literally started going down and everyone just lost their fucking mind and went outside, and now it's right back up. Yeah, even higher than before. Like, that was, I don't understand the logic behind that, but yeah, just out of nowhere. You know, there was like one report that, oh yeah, man, like, you know, after those 2 weeks that most of us were supposed to be staying home, we went down like 2%. And everyone was like, that's enough. And went outside and now we're up like 40%. So, you know, great job, America. So yeah, I don't know if anything is, I don't know. I'm not really worried about tournaments coming back right now. And that sucks because I definitely miss going places, but I'd rather not catch a disease that could fuck up my respiratory system for the rest of my life. So I'm good.
Same. I'm good. Bro, you just want to move to Canada? Just want to go up,
I mean,
to
don't the they have coronavirus too, bro?
They're handling it a lot better than us.
That's true. That's true.
Like, people are closing their borders to our country, man. So, like,
yeah.
I miss it.
So, all right.
I miss it.
I guess, yeah, for the, that was like the last question we had. So thank you guys for watching another episode of Hard Reads. We'll have more stuff to talk about with you next week. If you ever have any topics that you think that are worth the discussion, you can always DM me or you can just tweet at me directly. My DMs are always open and I do see everything. I may not reply to everything, but I do see everything. So yeah, just, you know, if you ever have any discussions or anything like that. Otherwise, you can always just wait around until I drop the thread asking for Twitter questions, because that's actually one of my favorite segments of the show. Guys, be safe. Be good to each other. Also, you got any final words?
No, man. Make good choices.
Man, just make good choices, man, and protect the ones around you and yourself. I'm TK Breezes, Austin, and we will see you guys next time. Have a good night.